Hello, and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. We're continuing our comedy series with one of the first true sitcoms, Blondie. Blondie was based on the comic strip created by Chick Young about a typical American family. Young believed that the sitcom should follow natural life, so Blondie and Dagwood got older and Baby Dumpling turned into Alexander, and he got a sister named Cookie. By the second show I've chosen today, Alexander is a teenager. In this first episode of Blondie that you'll hear today, Alexander is a little kid who gets a playmate in the form of one of the most famous female comics in radio, Fanny Brice as Baby Snooks. You decide if Baby Snooks is a good influence on young Alexander Bumstead. This Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast has big band music in place of the commercials. Enjoy Blondie, first broadcast October 8th, 1944 on CBS.
Don't touch that dial, because there's nothing else on. You might just as well listen to Blondie. Blondie, rebroadcast for the servicemen and women of the United Nations with Penny Singleton and Arthur Lake as Blondie and Dagwood Bumstead, respectively. Before we join the Bumsteads of Shady Lane Avenue, let's gather around the bandstand for a curtain raiser from Lenny Kahn and his orchestra. Raise that curtain, Len.
Visit with our neighbors, the Bumsteads of Shady Lane Avenue, who have as their guest tonight, Fanny Brice as Baby Snooks. Tonight, Baby Snooks is going to visit the Bumstead. But first, let's look in at 127 Shady Lane Avenue and see what's going on. Something seems to be wrong with Alexander, the pride and joy of the Bumstead family. It seems he isn't enjoying school this year as much as he did before. Blondie and Dagwood are talking to Alexander, who's just arrived home after a hard day with his teacher.
Well, Alexander, how did school go today?
Huh?
I said, how did school go today?
I didn't notice.
Hey, what's the matter with you? What happened today?
I don't know. I haven't seen the evening paper yet. We mean, what happened at school?
Oh, at school.
Yeah.
Oh, Alexander, please pay attention and focus your eyes.
Excuse me, Mom.
Seems like you're only half here.
It's even less than that.
Yeah. Look, Alexander, we'd like to know what happened at school. We're your parents, and we hope we're not asking too much. But we would like to know what happened at school, if anything.
Oh, it was the same old stuff.
Well, go ahead. What?
Well, the teacher asked me some questions, and I answered the questions.
Yeah, well, you answered them all? That's my son.
I answered them all wrong.
That's your son.
Alexander, is that what seems to be wrong with school this year, huh?
Nothing. It just doesn't seem to be anything right about it.
And that's a hard situation to correct.
Well, I'm going upstairs and mope around. Call me when dinner's ready.
How do you like that?
I don't. I can't understand what's wrong with
him. Well, Blondie, maybe it's one of those things. You know, Blondie, ever so often he decides on his life's work. He's going to be an actor, a chemist, or a steeplejack, and we have trouble with him until he forgets it.
What do you think he's decided to be this time?
A loafer.
Well, he can't get away with that in this family, even if he did get the idea from you.
Yeah, even if he did get it, you're blinding.
Well, Alexander usually sees you lying on that couch.
Yeah?
He hardly knows what you look like standing up.
Oh, blinding.
He's beginning to think his father is something horizontal that snores.
Now, Blondie, that's not fair. You can't blame me for the way Alexander's been acting.
Well, what do you think is wrong, then? He certainly lost interest in things.
Yeah, he seems to have lost interest in everything. Yeah, well, wait a minute. I'll test him out. Alexander!
Yeah, Pop?
Do you want a quarter? I said, do you want a quarter?
I heard you the first time, Pop. I'm just thinking it over.
Oh, he's lost interest, all right. Well, do you want it?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Oh, thank you too much.
When I come downstairs again, you can drop it in my pocket.
Oh, maybe he'd like me to spend it for him, too.
Dagwood, you know, I've been thinking.
Yeah?
Maybe we're not taking enough interest in his mental development.
Well, I have. I've always been interested in training his mind the same way mine was trained, but you always chase me away from him.
Well, dear, one Dagwood Bumstead is enough.
Yeah.
You know, Dagwood, I think I'd better have a little talk with him and see if I can't get him interested in something.
Oh, that's swell. Yeah, but what are you going to get him interested in?
I know. I know exactly what I'll talk to him about. I'll explain to him what's going on in the world. You know, Alexander doesn't realize that history is being made all around him. Now, Alexander, I want to have a little chat with you.
Okay, Mom. What about?
Well, you seem to have lost interest in things. I don't believe you know what a very important period the world is going through right now.
Oh, yes, but of course I didn't attend the big powwow at Dumbarton Oaks.
Where? Oh, yes. Now, son, you just ask any questions at all, and I'll answer them for you.
What are your opinions on post-war planning and the peace?
Post-war planning and the peace?
Yeah, that's right. Post-war planning and the peace.
Oh.
Well, let's see,
yes? Oh, of course, that question isn't very specific, Alexander. Ask me something that isn't so general.
Well, what do you think of Lord Vansittart's proposals?
Who?
Lord Vansittart.
Oh. Oh, yes, of course.
Well, I guess that's that.
Alexander, where did you hear about this Lord, Watchmadoodle?
Oh, I listen to the radio and read the newspapers. You see, Mom, Lord Van Sittert is a believer in a hard-boiled peace. He thinks Germany should be occupied for maybe as long as 50 years.
Is that right?
Of course, you know about the Wells plan, don't you?
Well,
Why, Mom.
Now, don't cluck your tongue at me. At least I know the plan was recently worked out by Orson Welles.
Oh, no, Mom. It was worked out by Sumner Welles.
Oh, dear. Well, I don't care. You never can tell what Orson Welles is up to either.
You see, Mom, Sumner Welles thinks we ought to divide Germany up into three separate nations, set up a world council, and put dependent areas under the protection of an international trusteeship.
That's simply amazing. Do you know about the Polish problem, too?
Well, I can tell you what the problem is, but I don't know how they're going to unravel it.
Well, now, maybe between the two of us, we can fix that up, too. I'd like to hear, Alexander.
Just make yourself comfortable. Well, it sort of started with the first partition of Poland in 1712.
Imagine that. Well, I didn't know they had partitions in those days. I thought everybody lived in tents. Hello, Dagwood.
Oh, my gosh, Blondie, you certainly were in Alexander's room long enough. Hey, look, did you get him interested in something? Did you explain to him what was going on in the world?
Dagwood, you just wouldn't believe what's happening in the world.
Yes. Yeah. Well, what's happening, huh?
Well, I just had a long lecture on international affairs. You know, our son listens like mad to the radio commentators. In fact, he could be one himself. Sort of a Raymond Graham swinglet.
Well, didn't you teach him anything?
No, but I learned a lot myself.
Well, did you snap him out of it, huh?
No, dear. There's something else wrong with him, Dagwood, and I don't know what it is. Alexander seems to be bored with life.
He does? Isn't he a little young for that? I thought they didn't get bored with life until they were 16.
They don't. So I guess he isn't bored with life. Must be something else.
Yeah, well, I know what I'm going to do, Blondie. I'll get him interested in sports. Tomorrow morning, before I leave for the office, I'll take Alexander outside and run him through a little football practice. Yeah, maybe that'll break this up.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But maybe it'll break you up, too. Well, I guess their little football game has gone all right so far this morning. Uh-oh, I spoke too soon. Well, now let's see. I guess there are plenty of ice cubes for his head, if it is his head, and plenty of cushions if it isn't.
Oh, Mom, what happened, Alexander? I tried to go through my side of the line and I grounded him.
Oh, Alexander.
Well, he needled me into it. I usually pretend I can't hold on to him, but he insisted on my giving him the full treatment.
And you did.
And how? Gee, I'm not in the mood for all this excitement. Well, I've got to be on my way to school, I suppose. So long, Mom.
Oh, wait a minute. Where's your father now?
10 miles. He's bringing him right in.
Now, just take it easy there, Dagwood. Yeah, you just lean on me.
Yeah. I'll call the army camp up. I'll have that man court-martialed. They can't do that to Dagwood Bumstead.
Who can't do what?
I've just been sideswiped by a tank destroyer.
Now, Dagwood.
Do I look like a tank?
Well, I wouldn't have married you if you were.
Yeah, well, I can't understand how it happened. I was whizzing past Alexander with the ball and this tank destroyer butted in.
Now, you didn't actually see it, did you, Dagwood?
No, but you saw where it plowed that furrow in the ground, didn't you?
Your nose did that.
Oh, dear, just look at the mud on your shirt. I'll get you a clean one, dear.
Yeah.
The Bumpsteads, as if you didn't know, will be back again in just a few moments. Right now, that man Lenny Kahn prepares to downbeat the orchestra for this sparkling selection. Well, sparkle, man.
Feeling better now, Dagwood?
Yeah, I suppose so, but I still haven't found out what's eating Alexander.
Oh, Dagwood, look at the time. You're going to be late for the office.
Huh? Oh, I do. Oh, holy smoke. Set the door open for me.
It already is open, Dagwood.
It is?
Oh, well, then close it and open it again. Do you want to ruin my timing?
All right, Dagwood. The door's open now, Dagwood.
Okay, honey.
Get out of the way, Mr. Niles. Yes. He sails out the door like a buzz bomb.
Okay.
Come on, Dagwood. You'll be late for the office. Hurry.
Okay. Where's my hat? Where's my hat?
Right there on the hat rack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, here it is.
Oh, that's not the hat rack. That's 10 Niles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Goodbye, dear.
Yes. Yeah, come on.
Bumpstead,
whoa, whoa, whoa.
Come into my office.
I can't come now, Mr. Diggers.
Why not?
I've got a white voice and elephant. Ha, ha.
All right, come in as soon as you're through. Bumpstead!
I was just making up little jokes, Mr. Diggers.
What's the matter with you? What were you doing?
Well, I was thinking.
On company time, huh? I'll bet it hurts, too.
Oh, Mr. Dennis, I've got something on my mind.
I know. It's all over your shoulders, too.
Yeah.
However, what is it?
It's about Alexander. Oh. Ever since school started, he's been moping around and paying very little attention to practically nothing most of the time, usually.
You ought to be hit over the head with that sentence. What's wrong with him?
That's just it, Mr. Gettys. We don't know.
Well, didn't you ever feel like that when you were Alexander's age?
Yeah, I did once. Gosh, I felt terrible. It was like the end of the world.
Oh, what happened?
The price of lollipops went up.
How typical.
Yeah.
I don't suppose you know whether the price of lollipops has gone up or down lately.
Oh, the price has stayed the same, but I find they don't last as long.
Oh, I don't know. Anyhow, Alexander's a little more mature than you were at his age.
Huh?
Than you are now, for that matter.
Yeah. J.C., how about it when you went to school? Did anything ever make you feel awful, huh?
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
Oh, it did? Hmm. Hey, maybe that'll be a clue. What was it?
Well, there was a cute little brunette in school.
Oh, yeah, I should have known. I'll bet you were a regular wolf, junior grade. Hey, go on. What about the little brunette, huh?
Oh, she was 8 and I was 9.
Ah,
what a delicious dish of dimpled divinity.
Oh, no, now, you couldn't have been that cute, Mr. Dillard, huh?
I met the girl. Her name was Gwendolyn O'Toole. She couldn't play jacks or pachisi, but boy, how she could play post office.
Nothing but special delivery airmail letters, huh?
Registered, too.
Yeah, but of course, when you went to school, Mr. Ditters, it was just the Pony Express. Well, go on.
Well, Gwendolyn and I were finally separated. Oh, brother, it was a sad day.
Did her family move out of town?
Oh, no. She went on to 5B and I went back to the 4th grade. I had to sweat out an old geography rap.
Yeah.
I certainly lost interest in life.
Hey, wait a minute. I'll bet that's it. There's a woman behind this, Mr. Diddy. And as the French say, Chasse la Dame.
Oh, yeah. Chase the Dame.
Yeah.
Maybe you've got something
yeah.
there.
Well, come on. I tell you what we'll do. We'll sort of quiz him and find out. Because if it's a girl that's bothering him, we could...
Oh, shh.
What's your name? Oh, yeah. Hello, Alexander.
Hello, parents. How's everything at school, Alexander?
Oh, come see, come saw. Just so-so.
Alexander, are there any specially nice girls this year?
Gosh, no. School has been awful since Tuts Murphy left. Gosh, what a woman. He certainly could play third base.
What's wrong with the little Rogers girl?
Oh, she always gets weak from undernourishment, right in front of the sweet shop.
Mm-hmm.
She gets treated so much, we call her the girl with the golden stomach.
Well, what did Toots Murphy do?
She used the matches to see who paid.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, I certainly miss that gal.
Well, that's life.
Mm. Well, I guess I'll go out and back and burn some leaves.
Oh.
Thank you, Alexander.
Yeah, I guess that's it, all right.
Oh, Dagwood, I know just the thing to cure
it. Well, what is it?
Well, a very sweet little girl moved into our neighborhood a few weeks ago. I think I'll invite her over to meet Alexander.
A sweet little girl?
Mm-hmm.
So who is it?
I think her family name is Hagen, but everyone calls her Snook.
You mean Baby Snook's on the radio?
Yes, dear.
Oh, boy, Blondie, anything can happen now.
Oh, Dagwood, that's probably Baby Snook.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see her at the door. She certainly is a sweet-looking little girl, isn't she?
Dagwood, you let her in. Oh, dear, I hope she gets along with Alexander. How?
Do the Bumsteads live here?
Yes. Sure. Here, won't you come right in, Snook?
Are you Mrs. Bumstead?
Me? Hey, Blondie, did you hear that?
What does she mean?
What do you mean, Snooks?
My daddy says that Mrs. Bumstead wears a pants in this family.
Oh,
he must have seen me wearing flats.
Yeah, that must be it. Well, come inside, Snook.
Why? Because there's a very nice little boy we want you to meet. How like nice little boy. Well, what do you like? How I like to throw a electric fan.
Well, Snook, we have an electric fan somewhere. I was only trying to be helpful.
Well, if you want to be helpful, stay here and entertain Snook.
Yeah.
I'll be back as soon as I can find Alexander.
Okay. Well, Snook, won't you come inside and close the door?
Why?
Because it's cold outside.
If I close the door, will it make it any warmer outside?
Well, I don't know. I never thought of that. Here we are. Now, is there anything you want?
Yeah.
What?
I want to go home.
But you just got here. Would you like a nice piece of cake?
Chocolate layer cake?
Yes.
A chocolate filling?
Yes.
And chocolate all over the top?
Yes.
I don't like chocolate.
Let's see. Maybe you'd like to play a game, huh?
No.
Will you play a game with me if I give you a penny?
Uh-huh.
Oh, all right. Here's a penny.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's nice. I like to hear little girls say thank you.
Give me another penny and you'll hear it again.
Let's start the game. Now we'll start the game. You go first.
All right. Adam and Eve and Pinch Me were on a raft. Adam and Eve fell off. Who was left?
Pinch Me.
Okay.
Oh, hey, that hurt. Yeah, what kind of a game is that, huh? A game is something you're supposed to enjoy.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, it's my turn now, Snook. Adam and Eve and Pinch Me were on a raft.
Adam and Eve and who?
Pinch Me.
Okay.
He did it again.
You want to play another game?
Sure, if it's different. What's this one called, huh?
Adam and Eve and Sock Me were on a raft.
Oh, no, you don't. Get away from me. What's going on in here?
Unhand that woman, sir.
I never touched her.
Look, may I present my son, Alexander Bumstead?
He's funny looking.
Oh, brother.
Now, I want you two children to like each other.
I like her.
Well, what do you say, Snook?
You want to fight?
Now, Snook, don't you know that little girls shouldn't fight?
Uh-huh.
And aren't you ashamed of yourself?
Uh-huh.
Then what do you say to Alexander?
Want to wrestle?
Snooks, I'm so disappointed. I thought you...
Oh, leave her alone, Mom. I like a girl with spunk. Now, come on, Snooks. Let's go out and play.
All right, funny face.
I love that girl.
Don't you think Snooks is wonderful, Mom?
I certainly do, Alexander.
What do you think, Pop?
I check.
Well, so long, folks. Snooks and I are going out. What would you like to play, Snooks?
I got a swell new game.
What's it called?
Adam and Eve and Pinch Me Wanna Rest.
Dagwood, I don't think Alexander's going to be bored with life anymore.
No, I'll say not, Blondie. You sure cured him, all right.
Yeah!
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Listening to the Old Time Radio Hour broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have Blondie from 1950, with Anne Rutherford taking the role of Blondie. She replaced Penny Singleton in the role in 1948. Arthur Lake played Dagwood throughout three changes of female lead on the radio and also played Dagwood in movies and television. After his retirement, Arthur Lake contributed his efforts to the preservation of old radio. In this episode, Alexander decides to become an actor. This is Blondie, first broadcast February 16th, 1950 on ABC.
Ah, don't touch that dial. Listen to...
Blondie!
Yes, folks, it's another half hour of fun with Blondie and Dagwood, with Arthur Lake as Dagwood, Ann Rutherford as Blondie, and Hanley Stafford as Mr. Dithers. Blondie and Dagwood in just a minute, but first a word from the Ford dealers of America. Again, for 1950, Ford has won the Fashion Academy Gold Medal Award as Fashion Car of the Year. Listen to what Mr. George I. Hutchings, a fireman from Des Moines, Iowa, one of the more than 230,000 happy owners, said about his 50 Ford.
I was surprised a low-priced car could have the room and beauty inside that my 50 Ford has. I was expecting that only the most expensive cars would have that much space and would look as rich. With the style on the inside equal to that on the outside, I can see now why my friends told me to get a new Ford. The smooth power and pep of that V8 engine and the comfort of driving my 50 Ford makes me the proudest car owner in town.
Comments like that are heard every day by Ford dealers. But we want you to prove for yourself that the new 1950 Ford is the one truly fine car in its field. The classified phone directory will give you the name of your nearest Ford dealer, or perhaps you know him personally. Call him tomorrow and ask for a test drive in the new 1950 Ford. Feel its comfort. Hear the purr of its mighty V8 or 95 horsepower 6. See its many big car features. Yes, see, hear, and feel the difference yourself. Test drive the new 1950 Ford tomorrow. And now for our weekly visit with your neighbors, the Bumsteads of Shady Lane Avenue. Well, it's about 6 o'clock in the evening in the Bumstead household. Dagwood has just come home from the office, has taken his usual dive for the couch, and is lying there all unraveled as Blondie tells him what happened during the day.
And then at 4 o'clock, Alexander's school teacher, Miss Ellerby, called
yeah,
up.
Yeah, and she said she was keeping Alexander after school.
And said that she was keeping... How did you know?
Well, last night, Alexander got me to teach him my good old 1-2 punch.
You're encouraging him to fight, Dagwood. Oh, shame on you.
Oh, no, I'm not, but I'll bet he's passing out of... few black eyes that he owes to a few of his friends on his way home. I wish I was young again. Boy, would I get into trouble.
Well, I don't think he's been fighting.
No, he's a Bumstead, and I'll bet he's been fighting.
What'll you bet?
Well, I'll bet. Okay, if he hasn't been fighting, I'll do the dishes tonight. Now, if he has been fighting, you've got to take care of the furnace. How
about
that?
It's a bet.
And that includes going down to look at it at 5 a.m.
Well, that's a hard bargain, but okay.
Am I going to enjoy kicking you out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning? Oh, boy.
Oh, I'll see who it is, dear.
Yeah, okay. I'll just curl up here on the couch and rest my eyes a little bit.
Why, hello, Miss Ellerby. Well, come right in.
How do you do, Mrs. Bumstead? Thank you. Oh, my, this room is so homey. Those beautiful curtains, the lovely furniture, the rugs, and... Oh, this cute dog sleeping on the couch.
Hey, cut out, huh? Ah, you sibling! Hey, get your hands off me. Now,
oh, it's not a dog, it's a man.
Yes, Miss Ellerby. Yes. This is my husband.
How do you do, Mr. Bumstead?
Yes. Hello.
You know, lying there with your tan suit on, looking at me with those big brown eyes, I was sure you were a great dame. Yes. I just couldn't help scratching your ear.
Stop that.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Bumstead. There's just such a resemblance.
Yes, no, thanks.
Miss Ellerby, you usually come to see us when something's wrong with Alexander's schoolwork. I hope it's not that tonight.
Mrs. Bumstead, au contraire.
Yeah, huh?
I said au contraire. That's French for heck no.
Thanks.
I wonder if Alexander has told you about his desire to be an actor.
Oh, yes.
You see, at school, we're having a little dramatic offering.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah. If this offering is like the last dramatic offering, we'd be smart to refuse it.
Mrs. Bumstead, Alexander has a brilliant talent. I don't think I'm overestimating his acting ability when I say he'll captivate his audience and lay him in the aisle.
That's nice.
Alexander, an actor? You really think he has talent?
Oh, yes. I definitely feel the kid has a lot on the ball.
Hey, what do you teach, Miss Ellerby?
English, of course. And the drama. Yes, you can't tell, you know. Alexander might grow up to be another Clark Gable. Oh. Or Van Johnson. Oh. Or Montgomery Clift. Oh, I mustn't do this to myself.
I don't know about this, Miss Ellerby.
Mr. Bumstead, it's a very interesting profession. Mm. The good actors make as much as $2,000 or $3,000 a week. And that ain't hay.
Did you say ain't?
Oh, I'm sorry. It just slipped out.
Yeah. What would the school board say if they knew you said ain't?
Mr. Bumstead, I hope you'll keep my little grammatical slip strictly entre nous.
Entre nous?
That's French for under your hat.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
Now, you won't discourage Alexander in his acting aspirations, will you?
No, we won't say anything for a while, at least.
Well, thank you. Now, I really must be running along, and thank you again so much.
Well, I'm glad you dropped in, Miss Ellerby.
Au revoir.
Yeah, Ford Coupe.
Oh, Mr. Bumstead, I still say you'd make a wonderful great day.
That's a fine English teacher.
Now, there, dear. I don't think you look like a Great Dane. Mm-hmm. Only a little bit around your muzzle. I mean, your mouth.
Oh, Blondie.
Oh, I'm just joking, dear. Oh, I think I just heard the back door. Mm. That must be Alexander.
Oh, is that you, Alexander?
Yes, it is I.
Alexander, what have you been doing?
Oh, good evening, Pater.
Huh?
Good evening, Mater.
Jeepers!
I'm so sorry I was delayed. Pa's a splendid evening this evening. And there's Pa.
What kind of talk is that?
Alexander, is that you?
It always has been.
Oh, look, Alexander, look, let's forget all that stuff. Look, have you been fighting today?
Oh, perish the thought. Ridiculous.
No, look, just answer yes or no, that's all. Yes or no.
No, Pater.
Hey, what is this Pater business? What is this?
Oh, don't you know, old chap? That's British for Latin for my old man.
Alexander, look, now what goes on here?
Wait a minute, Dagwood. I know. It's what Miss Ellerby said.
You mean that I look like a Great Dane?
No. That Alexander might be a great actor. Oh. He's being an actor.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. Oh, yeah, I get it now, yeah.
Well, Alexander, you just don't talk like yourself.
Yeah, and you don't act like a real Bumstead either.
Why, Dad, if I have a shell again,
I'm thinking of changing my name.
Alexander.
Yes, Pater?
And don't call me Pater, I'll call you Potater.
Well, very well, sir. What do you mean you're thinking of changing your name?
Well, Mater, I think
what your father said about Pater goes double for Mater. Now, what's wrong with your name, please?
Well, it doesn't have any dignity.
What's the matter with Bumstead?
Bumstead, Bumstead, Bumstead. It sounds like a man falling down the stairs.
And what name were you thinking of?
Well, how about Alexander Barrymore? Of course, it would only be my stage name. Off stage, my name would be Alexander Gable.
Yeah.
It's lucky my girl's name is Sylvia.
Now, see, Dagwood, he does want to be an actor.
Oh, no, not that, please.
Yes. I can't decide whether to be an actor and be famous or be a ham and make money.
Yeah.
Oh, what a decision. To be or not to be, that is the question. A Hamlet, you know.
Yeah, I know. I played Hamlet once myself. I walked on the stage in tights and the audience laughed, and then I bent over and they slid. Then I read my line. Parting is such sweet sorrow. And my pants came down with the curtain.
Dagwood.
Yeah.
Now tell us all about this, Alexander.
Oh, it's really nothing, except that you're looking at the star of the school play.
Oh, my.
Miss Ellaby and I decided that I was the most talented actor in our school.
Hmm.
And about my fighting cup.
Oh, yes.
I won't be in any more fights.
Huh?
I wouldn't dare take a chance of marring my classic features.
You may not be an actor, but you're already a ham.
More like his father every day.
Hmm. Well, I've got to go upstairs for a moment now. I wish to see if I can put a little romantic wave into my hair. Tell me when dinner.
No, holy smoke. Hey, how do you like that? Our son, an actor.
My, you'd think he was a star already. I've never seen him put on such airs. And if he turns out to be good in the play... He probably won't even speak to her.
Yeah, imagine, Alexander Barrymore.
Well, we'll just have to see what happens. But don't you forget now, tonight you wash the dinner dishes, and yes. Be sure you don't break any.
Yeah, what are you going to do, Blondie?
I want to do what you usually do.
Oh, you do, huh? Well, let's see. Well, I sit in a big chair with my paper and get real comfortable and loosen my suspenders, and you can do the best you can.
This is wonderful with Dagwood doing the dishes. If I can make some more bets like that, life is going to be very simple.
Oh, no.
Well, life will be simple, but we'll be eating off paper plates. Dagwood.
See what you made me do!
Now, Dagwood, that was your fault.
No, it wasn't. You shouldn't buy such slippery soap. Dishes are leaping out of my hands all by themselves.
Well, what did you break?
Well, you know that gravy boat?
Yes.
Well, no one will ever sail in it again. Yeah, it's a complete shipwreck.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
You know, dear. You look very cute in that little apron of mine with the pink ruffles.
Yeah, now, stop that.
Oh, may I powder your little nose?
You cut that out. When my nose needs powdering, I'll powder it myself in the powder room. Oh, no.
Dear, I'd like to see you wear that apron every night when you wash the dishes.
Oh, hey, Tara. Hey, Mom. I mean, oh, Father. Oh, Mother, dear.
Yeah. What is it?
I've been thinking about... Holy smoke, Pop's wearing an apron.
Yes, he's doing the dishes.
Gee, Pop, you look just like a girl.
Yeah, I thought it was the Great Dane.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that I decided not to change my name to Barrymore.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
How does this sound? Alexander Boyer. Oh, but James.
You must come with me to the Kasbah. Ah, Hedy, we will forget the word in the Kasbah.
How's that?
Bar. Now go on upstairs and get after your studies, Alexander, and that doesn't include making faces at yourself in the mirror either.
Very well, Father dear.
And don't call me Father dear, call me Pop dear.
Well, whatever you say, sir. Oh, by the way, Mom.
Yes, Alexander.
Tomorrow morning, I think I'll have breakfast in bed. A tea bags and crimpets, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good night, ham bone.
Boy, it's midnight. I'll try my new character out of Mom and Pop. I'm talking in this wastebasket so it'll make my voice on hollow and gruesome. Oh, boy, they both sound asleep. I'll hide down at the foot of the bed where they can't see me. There. Well, here goes.
What did you say, Blondie? Hey, what's that?
Well, it was what, Dad?
I heard something awful.
It was probably a mouse.
Yeah, it sounded more like a moose.
Oh, nonsense. You probably woke yourself up with your own snoring.
Yeah, well, I don't snore that loud.
Yes, you do. I've had to tell our neighbors that you're testing a foghorn for Point Magoo. You're dreaming, dear.
If I'm dreaming, it assures a gruesome dreaming.
Dagwood, what was that?
Yeah, well, I happen to ask you first. All I know is that I'm scared silly.
Well, turn on the light.
I'd rather not.
But somebody or something is in the room.
That's why I don't want to turn on the light. Yeah, I'd rather not see it, Johnny.
Well, I'm going to turn on the light. Dagwood,
do
you see anything? Dagwood, do you see anything?
How can I? I've got my head under the covers.
Well, I don't see anybody. Guess it must be just our imagination. Well, I'll turn the light off and let's get back to sleep.
You cannot escape your doom.
Oh, that did it.
Oh, there.
Evil spirit of Kaloom. Your doom is here. Get down on your knees and say your pajamas.
I mean, say your prayers.
Alexander Bumstead.
No, I'm Alexander Karloff. Alexander Bumstead. Where's that light switch?
Well, how'd you like that bit of acting?
Oh, Dagwood, I want you to take Alexander into his room and give him a... Dagwood? Dagwood? Alexander, look what you've done to your father. He's fainted. Get some water.
Gosh, what a tribute to my acting ability. I laid him in the aisle.
We'll continue our story in just a moment, but first, here's a message from the Ford Dealers of America. More than 230,000 happy owners agree it makes sense to drive the 1950 Ford before you buy any car at any price. And your local Ford dealer invites you to test drive this great new car in your own way. Yes, get behind the wheel of the new Ford, which again for 50 has won the Fashion Academy Award as America's Fashion Car of the Year. Touch the starter and thrill to the instant response of the mighty Ford engine that whispers power. Now take this 50 Ford out into traffic and notice how completely easy it is to handle. Then to the open road and feel the big car stability, the solid comfort of Ford's famous midship ride. Then glide to a smooth, even stop with Ford's king-size brakes. You'll agree that in every way, here is the one truly fine car in its field. So call your nearest Ford dealer tomorrow. He'll be delighted to arrange a test drive in the new 100-horsepower V8 or its companion in quality, the 95-horsepower 6. See, hear, and feel the difference by test driving the new 1950 Ford.
Well, after what happened last night, Dagwood didn't get back to sleep for a while, and consequently, he overslept this morning. He's a little late, and he's had to whiz out the door to top speed.
Hey, goodbye, Dagwood.
Yes. Goodbye!
Well, it's almost 9 o'clock and he's not here yet. This morning he's going to be late for sure. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Well, there's 8, but where's 9? Come on, you crooked clock. Strike 9 or I'll take your part and give you the works.
I made it.
There. Bumstead.
What?
Why is it that clock always waits for you?
Oh, that's very simple, Mr. Diddick. I run very fast. And according to Einstein, time approaches zero when the velocity of a mass approaches the speed of light.
Well, you're a mass, all right.
Mr. Diddick, yes. Blondie wanted me to discuss a little something with you this morning.
My answer is no, if it's about a raise.
No, it isn't about a raise.
Oh, well, in that case, just sit down and rest your brain.
Yes, thank you. Now, I have a problem.
Well, what's unusual about that? I got a problem, too. I've been married to it for 24 years.
No, this is about Alexander. You know, he wants to be an actor.
You know, I was an actor when I was a boy.
Yeah?
The romantic type, of course. Mm-hmm. Women used to swoon when I'd quiver my nostrils.
Yeah. Imagine that. Mr. Diddy, did you know Shakespeare?
Why, certainly. Out, out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage. And then is heard a no a more.
Ah.
Do I know Shakespeare?
Yeah. I meant, did you know him personally?
Bumstead, Shakespeare died in 1616.
Oh, excuse me. That's before your time, I guess, yeah.
I was very small, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, I was a wonderful actor. But it wasn't easy for me.
Yeah, it sounds like it wasn't easy for the audience either. Mr. Diddick, what was your most difficult role?
Trying to make 10 the hard way. Oh! You mean acting.
Yeah.
Oh, well, get this. Ah, darling, come with me to the Casbah. You love me. So kiss me.
Mr. Diddick, I didn't know you cared.
Bumstead, now who did that sound like?
Yeah, it sounded a little bit like Alexander then. Hey, Mr. Diddick, look, now, please, couldn't you just come over home with me tonight and give Alexander a little fatherly advice?
Well, what's wrong with you?
Well, you know how kids are. They don't pay any attention to what their parents tell them, but they'll listen to the first strip that comes along.
What's that?
I mean the first dope. No,
please, never mind the apologies.
Yeah, well, anyway, you could tell him about the disadvantages of being an actor, couldn't you?
Disadvantages?
Yeah.
Well, actors make a lot of money and have to make love to beautiful women and have big homes with swimming pools. Mm-hmm. Have to make love to beautiful women and, what are the disadvantages?
No, please, Mr. Diddick, you will talk to Alexander tonight now, won't you?
What are you having for dinner?
Roast prime ribs of beef with mashed potatoes and gravy.
I'd be delighted.
Hello, dear.
Hello,
Mr. Diddick.
Hi, honey.
Hello, Bundy.
Picnic, Mr. Diddick.
Well. So this is the vest pocket, James Mason. Hmm?
Mr. Dithers, I'd like to have a little talk with you.
You might at least wait until I ask you first.
Well, we'll be out in the kitchen. Come on, Dad.
No, I think I'd rather.
Dad.
Alexander, I understand that
That's what I wanted to talk to you about, Mr. Dithers. You're a man of the world, aren't you?
Well, I've been around, if that's what you mean.
You catch on. You see, as an actor, I may have to play that I'm sort of devil-may-care type. You know, a whirl with the girls. I thought you might be able to give me a few pointers.
Alexander, you come to the right man.
What's the first approach, J.C.?
Well, first you... J.C.
I mean, Mr. Dithers.
That's better. Well, first you flatter the girl. If she's beautiful, tell her she's the most beautiful thing you ever saw. Tell her that compared to her, Ava Gardner looks like Gravel Gertie.
Well, what do you do about homely girls?
You avoid them.
Is that all?
Is that all? I could go on the subject of women for 3 or 4 hours.
Well, go on, Mr. Dithers, go on.
Well, now, suppose you have a pretty secretary, and there she is, taking dictation.
You two through talking yet?
Yeah, Mr. Dithers, did you give Alexander some fatherly advice?
Yes. Let's just call it advice.
Yeah.
Come in.
Where's Alexander now?
Oh, he's just calling up Little Skirt. A girl he knows.
Can I talk to Sylvia, Mrs. Gibson?
Thank you. Did you talk him out of wanting to be an actor?
Well, you see, I...
Well, go ahead. What were you talking about?
Sylvia? Hello, Sylvia. This is Alexander.
How are you, you gorgeous hunk of plunder?
Gorgeous hunk of plunder?
What kind of talk is that?
Well, I better be running along now.
Well, certainly you are. Why, Sylvia, you make Ava Gardner look like Gravel Gertie.
Boy, Mr. Dithers, has she ever eaten it up?
Well, I better be running along now.
Listen, Luscious, if you're a good girl, I'm going to give you a break. Why don't you carry my books to school tomorrow? You heard me. You wait outside so I won't have to ring your bell, see? What if it is cold? It'll do you good.
Song, baby!
See you later, fellas.
Yeah. Mr. Dithers!
Yeah, well, what kind of fatherly advice was that? I guess Alexander ought to be back home from school any minute now, huh?
Dagwood, I don't mind Alexander becoming an actor later, but first he's got to live like a normal growing boy. We just got to get this stage-struck business out of his head.
It's almost impossible now.
Wait a minute. I think I've got it, Dagwood.
Right.
We'll do a little acting ourselves.
What do you mean, Blondie?
Well, when he comes home, you can play a hard-boiled character like Humphrey Bogart or Alan Ladd or Burt Lancaster.
Hey, I'd like that.
And I'll be a hard-boiled wife. Mm-hmm. We'll show him how much fun it is to have someone acting different parts at home all the time.
Well, can you do it, dear?
Well, I can try. But I'm afraid it's going to be a traumatic experience for him, but it's all for the best.
Oh, Mother, dear. Oh, Father.
Wait, let him come in here.
And then we'll let him have it.
Yeah. Oh, there you are, Dagwood.
Yeah, don't call me Dagwood, see? If you call me that again, it's going to be just too bad for you, Shorty.
Hey, what's the matter with Father, Mother?
How do I know what's the matter with your old man? Now, look here, Alexander. We don't like the way you talk, see? You sound like a sissy, see?
Who doesn't like the way I talk?
Me and Bummy here.
Yeah, another thing. None of that panty-waist talk or we'll fan your pants with a baseball bat, see?
Holy smoke! Hey, what's the matter? What's wrong?
And it's gonna be just too bad for you if you threw your coat on the floor in the hallway.
Hey, come on, let's go take a gander and see if he did it, Bunny.
Okay, baby.
I brought someone home with me.
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Bunny.
Yes. Who's this gorgeous dame here? Come here, you beautiful hunk of junk. I'll bite you on the neck.
Right, leave it. Get me out of here.
Holy smoke, that was Miss Ellaby. Oh, my, what did I say, Brian?
Oh, Dagwood, you scared her out of the house.
Yeah. What will she think of us now?
Well, I don't know what to think of you myself. I just came home to tell you that I decided to give up acting.
Yeah, why didn't you tell us that before?
Well, you see, they're starting a special gym course in judo, and I can't act in the play and take the judo stuff, too.
Oh, well, that's a relief, Alexander.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's more like it, son. I like to have you learning a few
self-defense tricks.
What sort of tricks are they teaching you, dear?
Well, here's one, Mom. I slip behind Pop like this, crouch down, grab his coattails, and pull! Like this!
Oh, that's not good. Wow! Wow!
From the Ford Dealers of America. If it's a new truck you're looking for, your Ford dealer has big news for you. Ford truck prices have just been reduced. That's right, price reductions up to $80. These reductions are made possible by engineering advances and improved production methods. Ford trucks at these new reduced prices have all the extra value features that made Ford America's number one truck value. The industry's only choice of V8 or 6, the million-dollar cab, bonus-built construction. 21 smart advancements that give you more performance at less cost. Stop in at your Ford dealers today. See Ford trucks for 50 at the new reduced prices. Remember, Ford trucks cost less because Ford trucks last longer. Latest available registrations prove it. Listen to Blondie next week over many of these same ABC stations.
Yeah, we're a little late tonight, folks, so good night, everybody.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.